to entertain you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
The Drive-In Theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
Is pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation. Station.
Howdy, 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 gang. What's good in the neighborhood? It is Monday. It's 8 o'clock. It's, what is this, August 2nd? We're in August, and our internet speed is slow. Our upload is taking, our download speed is crazy good, but our upload speed is quite the opposite today. So if we're getting any hiccups in the stream, we do apologize. It's out of our control. So there we go. What's going on with you guys? What's going on with you, Jake?
Nothing, man. Just here, ready to talk about movies and news and events and whatever else the things that are that we do. That's proper English.
It is.
Nailed.
Well, if you've never tuned in before, I'm your host, Bo, the Boom Operator.
And I'm Jake, the Grip.
And we're going to talk to you about movies. Clearly, like I was saying, we are experiencing some upload issues on the server side. Super out of our control. Vince over on Twitch is saying that audio is good, but our video is stuttering. And that is probably because our upload is less than 2 megabits per second, which is just like super trash. I don't know. I guess we could just record the podcast. We could just go on. We could try and, I don't know. We can't reboot the shit from here. So, What do we do? I don't know. I hate technical issues that I can't fix. Because when it's live, then you just start sweating and everything sucks and you can't fix it. So, there we go. Vince says the video is not horrible. We're not connecting to Facebook, I don't believe. So,
just go.
Just do it.
Just go for it, man. It's like, you know, Dumb and Dumber on the moped riding the Rockies. Just go, man.
Just trying to do it.
Just go.
So, yeah, we've got a couple of movies to talk to you about tonight. We're going to be talking about Jungle Cruise and also talking to you about The Green Knight. So, kind of a bummer that our upload speed is terrible because these are two movies that I really want to talk about and have conversations with you guys about it. So I'm a little bit bummed, but we're gonna do it anyway. But we do have news that we need to talk about. Some news coming out. Everybody has been talking about the Scarlett Johansson situation that's going on with Disney. And this is something that we've been talking about on the show for a while. Just the way that these lawsuits, I predicted these lawsuits, as Vince said once, he's like, Bostradamus sees all. And it's something that the live streaming, everybody thinks that it's okay because they're getting their products at home and it's easy. And you're like, oh, well, that's cool. I can just get it at home. I don't have to put on pants or whatever. But what people are now realizing is the studios are now using this as an opportunity to kind of screw over actors and cast and crew, because, you know, you might be thinking like, oh, well, Scarlett Johansson still made $2-3 million. But, you know, when you go into as a performer and you negotiate a contract and says, okay, well, I'm going to do this movie, but I want this much up front, but then I'm going to get, you know, 2% or whatever on the back end of the theatrical run, that's going to be my final payout. So you're vested in how well the movie does in theaters.
Right. Well, and she, her contract, as far as the actor portion of it goes, was for theatrical release and a wide theatrical release. And yeah. It was not supposed to be Disney Plus streaming, anything like that. Her lawyers say that they have it as theatrical release only. It wasn't supposed to be streaming, but they still took advantage of her promoting the film to bolster numbers on the streaming platform, for which she's not receiving
any compensation.
Well, she probably has something, but not what they had talked on or agreed upon or anything like that. And isn't she a producer on that movie as well?
Well, and that's how a lot of those, you know, credits work and getting points and all that kind of stuff works, is if you sign on as a producer, you're kind of, you know, you get a percentage of how well it does. And it's because sometimes at producers lean in into agreements by either contributing money or contributing other things to the production of the film that is more than just showing up and reading your lines. Like, you can get a producer credit for a lot of different stuff. Hmm. And then when you're negotiating points for payment, that theatrical release is really important. So when Disney's just like, well, just get it all out there and it doesn't make any difference if it's not in the blah, blah, blah. You know, it totally does make a difference. And you can really screw over a lot of people when you cut them out of a contract. And you're like, well, times change. You know, future's all we don't even know. I'm just a country lawyer, and I don't understand these things like clauses and
pulling the Matlock, huh?
Yeah, doing that whole thing.
She's not the only one that was in the news about that this week who's actor-producer in a film series. Gerard Butler is suing the producers of the Olympus series for a very similar
thing. For writing terrible movies.
No, for things like the last one, Angel Has Fallen or whatever, you know, where he's not getting proper pay and he's owed a lot of back pay on some stuff too, so that's a portion of it as well. So not the only actor in Hollywood that's pushing for that kind of thing.
I don't think he's gonna win, because
he's the talent and producer, and I think it's some of his studio is involved in it or whatever too. And talking about people upset about movies, one of the movies we did not get a chance to watch this week, Stillwater, Amanda Knox came out and said she was upset about that movie, using her name and story and everything like that that's out there. So she's upset about that. And
everybody trying to get that piece of that pie, get that money. Vince says those movies seem like forever ago. The Olympus movies, and you're correct. They absolutely do seem like they're forever ago, because when something sucks, you put it into the back of your memory.
Dude, they're not bad. I don't know what you're talking about. You haven't watched them. You don't know.
I've watched them.
The second one's the only one that's not very good.
Okay.
London.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, pretty interesting stuff. We'll see how that shakes out, because you're going to start seeing contract negotiations changing drastically moving forward with people, you know, with the advent of streaming. And it's not going away. You know, Suicide Squad's coming out this weekend, and it's coming out, I believe, simultaneously on HBO Max.
It is.
And theatrical release.
Yeah,
and
this whole year still has the run of movies that are the simul release for all of the Viacom, CBS, big ones.
And, I think that something like Suicide Squad is still going to get a lot of people going out to the theaters. But just think about how many people would go to the theaters if they didn't have the luxury of seeing it at home. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I went and saw Jungle Cruise, the theater was very full. It was a pretty full theater, and I went to a matinee.
The one I went to didn't have that many people in it. I lucked
you
out.
You go at weird times, though.
I went to a 7 o'clock.
On the weekend?
Yeah, yesterday.
Dang. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, then I stand corrected.
Which was fine. Yeah.
I went to the 2 p.m., and it was pretty full. The old Sunday matinee.
What I meant to say a minute ago was Time Warner. Time Warner.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting seeing how this whole these lawsuits shake out, because it's not going to be the first, probably, or the last. But anyway, let's see what else.
Vince says that I want more foreign films to have simultaneous releases. Got me.
Got him. But like I said there just a minute ago, Suicide Squad is the big release this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's coming out this weekend in theaters. I'll probably check it out, obviously. It seems like a movie that you should just see in a theater anyway. Kind of like Jungle Cruise was. But we'll review that later in the show. So again, Jungle Cruise and Green Knight reviews coming up later in the program. Do people say program anymore? Is that like a...
Maybe.
Later in the program. The program. Is program? Does that make me sound too Southern? Or should we say program?
Who says program?
I don't know. Sophisticated.
Howdy, program.
Yeah. Sophisticated blokes might say program.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. It just seems kind of cool. Anyway, other news. I don't know if you heard about this. You love this because you love things in 4K. I'm not a huge fan of 4K, but I do kind of want to see these in 4K. But Universal is beating around the bush right now. They're starting to test it in foreign markets. Not quite here yet, but wanting to do the Universal Monster Classics. So we're talking Dracula, Wolfman, Invisible Man, Frankenstein. I didn't see The Mummy in the list. So kind of giving Boris Karloff the snub. But I would love to see those in 4K.
Maybe they didn't find footage that had survived enough yet to be able to
I don't know
master
if
it like
any
that.
Of it has survived that
well.
Well,
it depends on if they shoved it in a salt vault or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
4K is good, man.
Your salt vault.
When they do those, they can look really well. And it's hard to go back and watch something in like 1080 once you've experienced in like full blown.
Man, I can't.
I'm telling you, I used to be one of those dudes where, you know, when 1080 came out, I was like, what's the difference in this stupid flat screen? Looks the same. My tube TV at home's better. And then it's like, oh, that's because the display TVs at the store were trash and they were still showing regular dumb DVDs.
Well, I mean, some things I just don't want to see that crystal clear. Like, I just think it pulls me out of the experience. Like, you know, I'm curious to see these just because if it's super, super clear, can you really see how shitty the makeup job was or how crappy the sets were and how all that kind of stuff? Because some of these movies, like these classics, when looking at them through the super high def lens, it makes, because it was never intended to be that crystal clear. It was designed with the whole idea of like, oh, well, it's not going to be that clear anyway. So let's, you know, use the magic of the movies. And then new people are like watching idiots like us go, oh, this movie's so good and it's such a classic. And then they go watch it in like super high def and they go, it looks like shit. I can see the wire. Y'all are idiots and y'all don't know shit about fart. And I'm like, well, no. And they're like, it looked crappy. I could see it all.
Whereas us, it's like, oh, look, they remastered. You can see the wire. That's awesome.
Like, no, it is not awesome.
I don't know. To me, it is. I think stuff like that's fun. Being able to see hints of the movie magic and like how they do it. Because if it's the first time you're watching the movie, you shouldn't be paying attention to that kind of thing. You should be in the movie. But when you've seen it enough times that you can look for things, I think stuff like that's kind of fun.
I mean, if you say so. I just...
It's fun for me, man.
It's weird. It's just weird for me. I'm just not a fan, man. Anyway, so I thought that was kind of interesting news. Also, speaking of weird formats, Clerks 3 has officially begun production. And you know, if you've ever watched Clerks, it's all like security cam footage.
Do people still like Kevin Hart after?
You mean Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
Nobody likes Kevin Hart.
Everyone does. Do people still like Kevin Smith after Masters of the Universe and him saying he didn't care about fans, he just cared about money, and he doesn't care if he got it right or not? And
I mean, fans are dumb like that. They're, you know, fans are going to be fans forever. So I think that he's going to be totally fine and nothing's going to change and he's going to make Clerks and everybody's going to watch it, but then everybody's going to pick it apart and say how crappy it was because it wasn't as good as the other ones, because it can't be as good. And plus, it's like, unless it's going to take place in the 90s or early 2000s, you know, like, what is it going to be on security camera footage now? Everybody's got like 1080p.
Did you not watch Clerks 2?
I don't remember much enough about it.
Oh, basically it had Rosario Dawson, and it was not fun. The end.
Yeah, it sounds about like everything that she's been in lately. Anyway, that's been greenlit. It's officially has begun production. I know everybody is speaking of things in production. I don't really want to talk about it too much because I think like the hype train is a little silly when a movie gets shot in your town. But I've been seeing a lot of news here in Northwest Arkansas lately because everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, Martin Lawrence was spotted in downtown Springdale," and it's like, let's go talk to him about Blue Streak. I mean, you know, or the Martin Show.
Yeah, but I bet everyone does that.
But the thing is like, no one would have thought about Martin Lawrence. Or if you would have talked about Martin Lawrence, like, last week, people would be like, who and who cares?
Not if they talked to me and you.
And, Martin! But now everybody's like, oh, a celebrity's in our town! You know, also, P.S., guys, what they didn't say in the news article is, so is John Malkovich. You know, that's...
probably best not to approach him.
Yeah, no, he's not a nice person from what I've heard. But, you know, I mean, that's how movies
work.
But
he's a nice guy. He probably just doesn't like people giving him...
No, I would. I'd get super tired of it too if I were him. I was like, "Oh, being John Malkovich, you're really bad in Of Mice and Men, and also in Con Air, pretty terrible." What was he was like, Cyrus the Virus or whatever his character was. So yeah, that's happening here in our backyard. You know, in Springdale, if you want to be one of those creeps that, like, tries to lurk around a town and find movie sets. But from a guy who works on movies or used to work on movies a lot, we hate that. So please don't. but it is happening for those of you that are curious about it. But anyway, McClane, he's there on YouTube. He was working on that film as well. So,
well, how about that?
Yeah. So anyway. Sam says his Martin Lawrence collector's plates would beg to differ with me. But you know, celebrities are people too, man. You know, it's a job and they gotta shoot somewhere. So I think that everybody got that big star-studded taste out of their mouth with True Detective when it came through and like pretty much outstayed its welcome here in Northwest Arkansas because the production got pushed like 3 or 4 extra months because of just problems.
There were all those people that had their group and they're like spotting everyone in town in True Detective and they'd tag all their friends. But then most of the people realized that they weren't actually part of the... the show, they didn't show up in it, and they were upset that they were
no-shows. That's how the biz works, guys. Anyway, what else in the news?
Well, talking about movie productions and sets like that, Netflix announced that all of their U.S. productions for key cast and crew will start requiring everyone to be vaccinated.
I mean, that's kind of how it is in a lot of productions.
Well, a lot of the big leaders in business and tech and stuff, Google said to enter their buildings, you're going to have to if you work there. Netflix said key personnel, cast and crew have to. Even Walmart has said that some of their stores employees will have to.
Well, they're saying like management and people in the home office. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of people push back on this, but also don't. Like, just get it. Just get a shot. Like, I don't like medicine. I don't even like taking Advil. I'm one of those guys.
I really don't.
But I stuck it in, and it was fine. Didn't hurt a bit. Just slid right in there and filled me with the good stuff.
Well, old Sean Penn said he wouldn't even work on a movie set if the whole crew was not fully vaxxed. So that's a big thing that's going on that I'm sure a lot of people are going to get upset about. So there's that. Speaking of people that are upset, apparently Matt Damon decided to say something real stupid in an interview, and now everyone's giving him a real hard time.
It's Matt Damon! Everybody loves Matt Damon.
Well, apparently... Apparently he used a not-so-nice slur up until very recently.
Which one was it? What did he say? I still don't know. I just know it started with an F.
Yeah, it does. It's a very disparaging remark for members of LGBTQ plus whatever.
Or as a bundle of sticks.
Yeah. So apparently he just let that piece of Boston ride in him real hard for a long time, and until one of his daughters was like, hey, don't do that, and then wrote a big paper to him and was like, here's why you can't. And he's like, all right, then I won't. And everyone's like, why did you admit this?
Because so, I guess transparency, got to get out in front of it, and better to get out in front of it than let it catch up with you.
Yeah.
Because nothing stays secret in 2021.
Were you really trying to, like, inhabit the character of, like, this dude from Stillwater, Oklahoma? He's like, let me tell you a story about my personal life where I say mean things about people.
Everybody says mean things about people behind closed doors because all humans are horrible. Every last one of you.
That's probably true. So, but he got himself in a little bit of trouble there. So,
Silly Matt Damon. What else going on? Actually, I don't know. We should probably move on and start talking about movies unless you got anything else.
Hey, I got two more things. There was super sad news last week. There was the shooting in the Corona movie theater. People watching The Purge. There were six people in the theater. Two people were killed, which is tragic, bummer. People are starting to go back to the movies, and you have things.
And then
like
we gotta ruin it. Come on, man.
One of them was like a big TikTok guy. They were 18 and 19, guy and a girl. But they do have a GoFundMe out there that you can help the family of the girl because she passed away on the scene, and the male passed away like in the days after. So, big bummer news there. But moving away from that, just because I wanted to get that out there, there was today announced Reese Witherspoon sold her Hello Sunshine production company for $900 million.
Dang.
Yep. 5-year-old company. She started it to help women in media get more attention and things like that, better jobs and all of this. And was able to turn it around and sell it for $900 million.
That's a lot of bones.
Her and the CEO of the production company will remain on the board and are still both going to be like big-time shareholders in the company. So they'll still have ability to make decisions and direct the company and things like that. So made herself some cool money in a time where movies and all of that are upside down and in turmoil, and who knows what's going to happen.
My production company's for sale.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It is. I mean, we don't have any films yet, and or studios or equipment or employees, but the production company is for sale. If you'd like to give me $900 million, I will give you a production company. It might take about a month, but one will be delivered. You just give me $900 million.
Yeah, we'll do it. Also, the African American Film Critics Association announced that a bunch of their winners, and those will be formally awarded at a COVID-safe ceremony on the 21st. But from all the winners they announced,
COVID-safe ceremony,
yeah,
CSC, yeah.
But from the winners they announced, HBO and Amazon look to be the big winners in that for all of the shows, actors, stories, and stuff that they've been telling. So check that list out. See if there's some things on there maybe you haven't watched yet, if you have an interest in that. And check some of those out since everyone likes their award show winners so
much. That's right.
Much.
That's right. As Sam and Vince were saying over in the comments, our production company, Academy Award nominated pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But you spelled Academy wrong. It's got to have a K because we don't want to get any copyright infringements. So make sure you spell it like some millennial's daughter's name. Like you just add Y's and K's in there for no reason. And yeah, like Ashling, Railing, Braxton, Traxton, whatever. With like Y's and K's.
Oh, someone showed me a thing like that, and I was like, well, that can't be real. And they're like, yeah, these are real
names?
Kids' names.
And they're like, real dumb. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's start reviewing some films because we got two to talk about, and I'm the only one that watched The Green Knight. So I'll go ahead and start with this. Vince Schuyler Lee. The Green Knight, A24, you've probably heard me talking about this movie for months and months and months now. I've been looking forward to seeing this for a really, really long time. And director David Lowery did not disappoint. This movie, again, not for everyone, as most A24 movies tend to be. We're seeing that its initial. It was funny. The initial like Metacritic score was pretty high, but the Rotten Tomatoes, which is all stupid, was really, really low. But now, as it's been up, it's going and getting higher and higher and higher. The initial like audience reviews were like, "This is dumb. I don't get it. What's going on here? I thought it was gonna be pretty like action and swords fighting, and it's none of that." But, you know, I won't bore you with a huge synopsis of what this is about because we've been talking about it for months, but it is a film adaptation of the 14th century Middle English chivalric romance poem called Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. It follows the story of, what is it, Arthur's nephew who, you know, goes kind of on this little adventure quest with this green knight that comes in and is like, "Yo ho, dude, like, who can challenge me to a sword him off?" And then no one will do it. And Gawain, who is like the youngest one. Gawain. They all
call him Gawain in the movie?
Yeah, they all call him Gawain in the movie.
Oh, weird. Maybe it's like a Celtic.
So Gawain. And so anyway, he's just like, "I'll chop at you, bro. Have at ye." And, you know, they get a sword, and the Green Knight just like kind of sticks his neck out and Gawain like chops his head off, which, I mean, what an idiot. Like, if the whole bet was, you know, okay, if you land a blow on me, then in a year's time I get to do the same for you. It's kind of like the punch me game, you know. And it's like, you know, you want to punch the lightest. If someone's going to turn around and have to punch you back the same. But no, Gawain just rolled up and chopped this dude's head off, right? And he's like, "Oh shit, maybe I probably shouldn't have done that, because that means now my head's got to get chopped. Damn it." And so a year goes by, and then he has to go on this quest to go find the Green Knight, and like, "Oh, I guess it's your turn to chop my head off then, dog." And but along the way, it's this very wild sort of adventure that he goes on that has a lot of undertones of just what it means to be a knight, you know, chivalry, themes of temptation and hunting and nature and just sort of, you know, empathy and things like this that the story tells, and trying to translate this into a modern on-screen sort of thing is was a challenge. But David Lowery did a really, really, really good job. With a couple of exceptions, you know, there's parts in the original story that I think make a little more sense, that I don't understand why David chose to change them in this, about the green sash, which was something that was given to him as a gift in this this castle of this lord that he meets. But in the movie, it was like his mother gave him this, and It didn't make a lot of sense in the film, because the whole point of the green sash being given to him and he has to give it back, it kind of falls. It makes it confusing. You know, there was parts of this movie that left me wondering why or how or what was the reason for this. But then going back and refreshing myself with the source material, I'm like, oh, well, that makes way more sense, you know, to why they would do this. But it was strange. But I guess he did it to build suspense and to build a lot of weird visual elements and reasons for those visual elements, because it's just, it's very spooky, it's very haunting, it's very slow and quiet and atmospheric. You know, there's very little sword fighting, there's very little action, there's very little, you know, anything that you'd see in a traditional like knights movie, which I think is why people are confused by it. But there is a lot of weird themes and things to make you think, and really great music and use of quiet and use of atmosphere and sort of time passage, which was really interesting. So I don't want to give a lot of spoilers about this movie and just sit there and tell you the plot, because I want people to go see this movie, especially since it's in theaters. A24, it came out number 3 at the box office, which was pretty wild, considering it was only in 2,700 theaters nationwide, and still took number 3, which is really good for an A24 movie, kind of like I was saying last week, but hey, go see this, because it's rare that you see a big, wide release of a movie like this. It's still out there. It's going to be in theaters. I think after this weekend with Suicide Squad coming out, it's going to be pushed out of a lot of theaters because they're going to need the screens. Shout outs to DJ Merle over there on Twitch. He just says, just popped in what film we're talking about, The Green Knight right now, and then about to talk about Jungle Cruise. Sam says it's kind of like No Country for Old Men and the staccato nature and the violence. Vince says that. DJ Merle, Green Knight. Yep. So anyway, Green Knight. Dev Patel was fantastic in this movie. He carried the whole thing on his shoulders. Joel Edgerton comes in for a little while and plays this creepy lord. It's always cool seeing Joel Edgerton. He's a creepy lord. Creepy lord, me lord. But again, I cannot stress this enough. It's not for everybody. Like, this is not a movie if you think that this is going to be a trippy head adventure, like high adventure, it is not any of those things. This is definitely an art film. Anything that's already based off of a 14th century Middle English sort of poem, it ain't Fast and the Furious, y'all. So make sure you're not expecting that out of this movie. But if you go in there knowing what you're getting yourself into, I think you'll be really, really satisfied and surprised at how well he does. And I hope that the success of this movie leads to more films from David Lowery, because I'd love to see it.
You're saying that when he raises up the sword, he doesn't go, "It's about family."
It is kind of about family.
When they're sitting around the round table, they're like, "You can have any beer you want." As long as it's a Corona.
As long as it's mead, me lord. Reed asks, Art House, The Dark Green Knight. it's very art house. And also, hey, what's up, Reed? Are you coming to us? He's tuned in from Australia. What is it, like 400 Bloglock in the morning over there? Like, thanks for tuning in to the live stream, man. Sam asks, would you watch A Knight's Tale before or after? How about before and after? Because A Knight's Tale is pretty awesome. If you've not watched that movie in a while, it's Heath Ledger, you know, one of his fantastic roles there, playing a knight with a lot of Queen songs in A Knight's Tale, wasn't it? I mean, it had like this rock ballad soundtrack, and it was pretty cool. It says lockdown, tune in. I'm guessing Australia is maybe locking down, quarantining. Mm. But we're glad you're with us. So anyway, The Green Knight's in theaters right now. You can check it out. And also in theaters coming out, J.I. says, great soundtrack. No, that movie has such a phenomenal soundtrack.
Knight's Tale.
Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah, super good. But so does Green Knight. It's just a different kind of soundtrack. It's more of a score. So let's move on to the second film we're going to talk about tonight, which is Jungle Cruise. Jungle Cruise, of course, if you hadn't seen any advertisements for it, then you, I don't know what planet you live on.
Where have you been for 3 years?
Yeah, but again, it's Disney's latest sort of foray into making a big feature-length property based off of a ride that I guess it was either destroy the ride because people are forgetting about it, or make a movie to make people think it's cool again. And they chose the latter. This film, of course, starring The Rock and Emily Blunt, I feel like they carried this movie on their shoulders for the most part.
Yeah, The Rock did. Emily Blunt's character started out where she could be pretty cool, and then they just gave up on her.
I kind of feel that too. You know, this movie, the short review I'll give is I enjoyed it, but I felt it was 25 minutes too long.
It was definitely way too long of a movie, especially for a kids movie that had no real plot to it that mattered in any way. It's like, how can they stretch it to be over 2 hours runtime?
Oh, they definitely tried. And the thing is, with adventure movies, all the great adventure movies are all about 90 minutes. Like, that is a good adventure movie, I mean, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. You know, the pacing is good. You can move quick. You can do all this kind of stuff. And I felt like Jungle Cruise was just trying to be too many movies at the same time. Like, you've got essentially the character archetype. Like the lead man, lead woman, and then sidekick right from The Mummy. They pulled Brendan Fraser's character, Rachel Weisz's character, and her bumbling drunk brother right out of The Mummy. I mean, it's plug and play. You know, the dashing rogue that she doesn't really trust, but his headstrong attitude and roguish good looks, get him through any ne'er-do-well situation, and then at the end, they begrudgingly fall in love. We've seen it 100 times. And then they took the piratey whatever's from Pirates of the Caribbean, Barbossa and his crew, mm-hmm. and we're like, you know what? Let's put gold hats on them, make them conquistadors, and name them after.
Yeah, they took like they took all of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and took and moved them into one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Davy Jones pirates, the Dead Men Tell No Tales pirates, and the Ghost Boys from the first movie. What if they were all like the same
one
thing?
Little posse?
Yeah,
yeah. And so they took those characters, and then they were like, well, let's throw some Indiana Jones in there, so let's throw Nazis. Let's just put some Nazis in there trying to get this.
Well, they weren't. No, it was World War One.
Well, no.
Nazis weren't a thing, but they definitely acted like that's who it was.
Exactly. They took that from Indiana Jones, because Indiana Jones was always Nazis. So they're like, well, let's just put some German in a U-boat trying to get the thing to win the war.
Yeah. And also, there's too many antagonists in this movie. With invincible protagonist, it's pretty very paint by numbers, very predictable. You know what's going to happen. I know it's a kids movie, it's a Disney, but there's nothing original, and there's so many plot holes that doesn't matter. It's like 1916, like we're in the middle of the war, and we all want to find this cure-all to help in the war efforts. But apparently, they just allow for free travel outside of Britain in the middle of World War One. Like, that's a thing that you can just do. You're like, hey, I'm gonna head out to Brazil, and everyone's like, all right, cool,
see ya,
take it easy,
here's your luggage,
see you later, I'm glad someone's getting out, I guess, you know. And then no one stops them when they decide to create floods or water needs to be somewhere. It defies all physics. Because they show them pull up to the shore, they walk uphill, they show another scene where they're standing and it's down a cliffside, but then they're like, well, let's reroute some of this water, and then it just comes from above them and runs downhill. Makes no sense. And it just, everything just serves its one purpose at the time it needs. Don't ask any questions.
Nope.
But
I'm not super mad at it about it. You know, really? Okay, so here's the thing. It made me miss those late 90s, early 2000s adventure movies. You know, Sahara and
Sahara's
The Mummy.
Such a good movie.
And, you know, National Treasure. And, like, these that are just fun romps that you're just like, you know, there's so many of them out there that they just, again, they're paint by numbers. You know that the guy and the girl are going to do it and blah, blah, blah. And they're going to, you know, get the treasure, and the bad guy's going to be like, no, and probably die at the end. And you're okay with it, and it's just fun. And there's all these exotic locales, and someone's wearing one of those hats that had the little leather strap and the things, and it's like, you know, and it's awesome. And someone swings from a vine, and it's not, as long as it's not Shia LaBeouf from Indiana Jones 4, because that was garbage. But yeah, Congo, you know, as Sam said over on Facebook.
Congo, an adventure movie? I always felt like Congo was like a gorilla thriller.
Because, I mean, yeah, a gorilla thriller?
Yeah.
A gorilla thriller. That's a good movie.
Thriller, gorilla.
In Manila.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of illas. But, you know, the Jungle Cruise, it just, again, it was just trying to be way too many things all at once. And that's why I felt like it was too, I mean, they had the tree from Avatar. And
yeah, and I mean, you had Paul Giamatti as like a skeezy dude.
Paul Giamatti's always.
Yeah, but his character served no purpose, especially with the revelation at the end of the movie about some of the other characters. It's like, oh, well, how does this guy even begin to exist then? But he just—he was an antagonist to set up some conflict and minor adventure at the beginning of the movie.
They could have cut so much of that out.
With some antics. And then they're like, oh, well, this German guy's evil because reasons. And then he's like, the German guy's going to awaken the real bad
and,
guys.
And there were so many slight nods to Werner Herzog. There was a couple of just straight up quotes from, I want to say like, well, Aguirre and the Wrath of God, you know, it's a movie with Klaus Kinski, directed by Werner Herzog.
That he filmed in the jungle?
Yeah, it was about him going down a river and he's just stuck on this like raft and goes crazy with all these monkeys. It's actually a really good movie if you've ever seen it. And also there's another really good one that made me think of this called Fitzcarraldo. Again, Werner Herzog with Klaus Kinski, and they try to get this riverboat over this mountain and they use this indigenous tribe to try and move it. It's actually another really fantastic movie. But Werner Herzog has the ways that he talks about life and despair. And there is a scene where he talks about the only... Well, I can't remember what he said, but he said something that was a straight-up Werner Herzog line, and it just reminded me of these movies and the fact that guy's name was Aguirre. There's so many references in this movie to the ride itself. You know, the whole part where he's giving the first tour is just referencing the ride over and over and over. But, you know, Disney's like, how many times have they done this? You know, they've got 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea as a movie and a ride, but it's no longer a ride at Disney World. I guess they scrapped it. Then you had Pirates of the Caribbean. You had Tomorrowland. If you guys remember Tomorrowland with George Clooney, they made that ride into a movie. Jungle Cruise. What's another ride that they did?
Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion, and that's actually they're going to do another Haunted Mansion movie that's already been greenlit. So you're going to get another one of those.
Does Swiss Family Robinson count as a ride?
I think it was a movie first.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And then it was a ride. So, yeah. I don't know. There's a whole lot of these Disney-based ride movies. It's weird. I don't know. Tower of Terror, was that even a movie? Did they make a movie out of Tower? Tower of Terror was based off of Twilight Zone. And it's awesome. I think it's all Guardians of the Galaxy now.
Really?
I don't know if both of them. Now, one of them is. I can't remember if it's in Orlando that might still have the original Tower of Terror, but the one I think in California, Disney World, is that land or world?
Disneyland is California. World is Florida.
Okay. Well, anyway, the one in California, I think they changed the Tower of Terror to Guardians of the Galaxy. So, yeah, weird. Nobody needs that. Nobody wants that. Nobody asked for that. Steve Gutenberg, that would be something else. But anyway, Jungle Cruise, you know, it's a little bit long, but I'm not.
It was a bit long.
It was fun. It's The Rock. It's every trope. There was some unnecessary scenes that were heavy-handed to be PC, and then one of them got a little carried away.
There's a lot of
some dick jokes that were very inappropriate.
There's a lot of things that it's like, oh, how did that get by Disney? Because they make a lot of obscene, gay jokes and innuendos and things.
It's a little strange.
They yell curse words in German because, like, oh, it's not in English.
They don't know. Yeah. What if there's some German children in the audience that are just like, you know, what? See,
and The Rock was the only part of this movie that was like remotely interesting or fun, and the rest of it was like it just all fell really flat. I didn't think it was interesting at all, and except for like the kind of Crocodile Dundee way of like his interaction with the tribal people movie. You know, like the whole thing with some of them, but none of it worked because they would always bring in some dumb fantastical element that would take them out of like...
It'd pull you out, you know?
They didn't need the fantasy in it. It could have been good enough on its own without the magical, fantastical elements on it. Or, if you were going to have that, you didn't need to have the other two or three protagonists in the movie, or antagonist in the movie.
Because, I mean, then it just bungled it all up with weird CGI that was super unnecessary.
And then the whole thing with the tree, with the tears of the moon and stuff.
The Avatar tree.
It ended up making no sense, you know. It's a tree that only comes to life under certain circumstances with human influence, but everything everything has to be put in place at a specific time that nature deems or whatever. Really dumb. And then it lasts for every bit of 5 seconds.
It would have lasted a little bit longer, but they were late to the party where the moon was at its apex and was you had the blood blabberdibbercaps. Yeah, so it only lasted for literally 20 seconds, and then they're running trying to get the very last petal, and look at the last petal! And then somehow they get an extra petal because they made a good decision.
Oh, yeah. Big spoiler for this dumb movie that you know what's going
to happen. They're going to get a petal out of the deal. It's an adventure movie. They got to get the treasure. The treasure was the memories
we made. And
the girl's
name was Lily, so the flowers were lilies.
It's an adventure movie. I mean, what do you want? They have torches and lanterns and boats, and like adventure movies have to take place in the early 1900s. Like that's the best kind because they don't have like cell phones and like electricity everywhere, and you know they're all dressed in those outfits that make no sense. Which I actually thought that was kind of a funny little. There was one little joke where she's like, "Aren't you hot wearing all that stuff?" And he's like, "No, I'm fine." And then he's like, "Ugh." But that's how people dressed back then. I don't know how they did it. I guess everybody just smelled like feet and butt, like everywhere.
Feet and butt.
Butt feet. Beet. It's gross. How did people do that with all their like corsets and knickers and ascots and kerchiefs and spats and what other old clothing things, suspenders, and I don't know. Can you think of any other old sounding clothing items?
Knickerbockers.
And they're knickerbockers. Yeah. And I guess the German guy would have had his lederhosens. And I don't know. The German guy. Why was he there?
I know.
Like that should have sucked. Vince says, "Bo, starting to sound like Jake, where everything is fine in a rock movie." I mean, you had the Scorpion King in another adventure movie.
Scorpion King's better than this one.
Yeah. I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
Because it's shorter. It gets to the point. You got the Egypt thing going for it.
Yeah.
The music is cooler.
That's true. Action.
I mean, the jungle's cool. For a minute there, I couldn't figure out if I was watching The Jungle Book or The Jungle Cruise.
No, Jack Whitehall or Paul Giamatti dragging it down.
Yeah, Paul Giamatti. Thank God he was only in it for like 5 or 6 minutes. More than that, he could have been cut out of the movie. The German guy could have been cut out of the movie. There could have been a lot of things cut out of this movie, and it would have been just as good, if not better. Yeah. It would have been better.
They tried to put too much into it.
And, you know, if it does the money, which it is making the money, it was the number one movie in America this weekend. It brought in $35 million in its opening weekend.
Well, see, it had made $32 by Saturday, so that means on Sunday it only made $3.
Yep, it got it out there. And I feel like with the VOD, all that stuff, it's going to drop off significantly next weekend because everybody's like, well, I just do well with Ratchet at home. Because, like, Old, it dropped down to only $6 million this weekend, so it's only had its whole run has been $30 million at the box office. But Black Widow dropped off exponentially after its opening weekend. It came in number 4 this weekend with only $6.4 million. So it's had $167 million run in its 4 weeks, which for an MCU like flagship movie, it should have already been into the 250s.
Well, it
by
opened
now.
At like 80.
Yeah, which was a super strong opening, and usually those go for at least 2 or 3 weeks, and then you see that massive drop-off. But it was, like, literally week number 2, huge drop-off.
People are just now starting to go back to the movies.
To the movies as the Delta variant runs rampant. Cases, we're here in Arkansas. We're number 1, baby. Number 1 in dumbass unvaccinated people. Number 1 in totally used ICU beds all over the place, and number 1 in places where don't travel here, and just number 1 in heads up our asses, because, man, if we want movies to stay cool and be movies at the movies, then we gotta do our part, you know?
Yeah, I really do hate that AMC has gotten rid of their social distancing. Like when we went and watched, what was that really dumb movie we went and watched like 2 weeks
Space
ago?
Space Jam?
No.
I saw that. It dropped down to number six this week, only brought in $4 million.
The one that we watched before that, me and you both watched.
Did we watch Snake Eyes together?
We did watch Snake Eyes together, but there was a movie before that where we watched it and we moved back to the handicapped seats.
What movie was that?
What movie was it?
Are you sure it wasn't Snake Eyes? I had to be Snake Eyes.
No, because Snake Eyes, we were in the theater and there's only like four or five of us in there.
We watched so many daggum movies. I mean, let's...
It doesn't matter. The social distancing at the theater is gone, and I hate that. I think that's a thing that should always have been there, where you can buy seats and have some buffer seats.
Was it Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard?
No, it was after that. After that, before Snake Eyes. What movie did we watch?
I don't know.
Let us know.
It's somewhere in there. I mean, I'm looking at the box office lineup, and I don't see any other movies that it could have been. But anyway, speaking of the box office, number five was Stillwater. It opened up this weekend at the number five spot with only $5.1 million for Focus Features, but that's not bad for that kind of movie. Snake Eyes dropped down to number seven after its second weekend release. I mean, wow, what a terrible opening for something that was a G.I. Joe property, so far only making $22 million in the box office. I mean, that is rough. Second week for $4 million, just not doing very well at the box office. Probably not going to see another G.I. Joe origins story. Maybe a Netflix exclusive, but I don't think we're going to see one in the theater.
You get when you take Ray Park out of it and you decide to make him super charismatic Henry Goulding and be like, hey, you want to know about Snake Eyes? What if we tell you nothing about Snake Eyes?
The Storm Shadow movie. Merle said he saw Roadrunner last week and lost it at the end. I've been wanting to see that as well, and I'm afraid I'll do the same. It's still out there in about...
Does Wile E. Coyote get him?
Suicide does, actually. Gets him. It's the Anthony Bourdain movie, man.
Wow.
So, it brought in $365,000. It's still in about 500 theaters nationwide, so if you do have it in a theater near you, I highly suggest you check this out. I'm going to try and take advantage of it this week if it's still here. I really want to see that in a theater and give it my money. Because Anthony Bourdain is a cool dude. I really like two... What do you mean shaking your head?
I never liked him.
My two favorite food shows... Growing up, all the time watching was of course, Alton Brown's Good Eats, which he's going on tour right now, and tickets are on sale. He's going to be in Tulsa and Little Rock coming up, so I've already got tickets for the Tulsa show. And then also the other one was No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain. I watched a lot of that. So Black Widow, Black Widow came in number four, brought in $6.4 million at the box office. Total so far, $167 million. For Black Widow, so there you go. Sam says his wife is going to the Good Eats show, I'm guessing what that is, so should be a good time. You should go with her. Come on now.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Hey, you know what? This weekend, not only are we getting Suicide Squad coming out in the theaters, but if there isn't enough goofy, geeky, nerd nonsense stuff for all of you, it's that Northwest Arkansas Comic Con this weekend.
That's right.
Where I'm going to go meet Jason Marsden.
Are you going to get an autograph for our junk wall?
I'm going to get my copy of the Return to the Batcave, The Misadventures of Adam and Bert autographed.
Heck yeah.
Because I'll be the only one doing that. You know that DVD sells for like $60 on Amazon right now?
No, you should sell it.
I'm not going to sell it.
I wonder how much my...
It's one of my favorite movies.
My autographed DVD copy of Transylvania 6-5000.
I don't know.
Autographed by Ed Begley, Jr.
But does the voice of Binks the Cat or
are you gonna Sam asked, are you going to cosplay?
No.
Why not?
I'm going to wear a Powerline concert shirt, no doubt.
You should wear the whole costume. Just dress as Powerline.
I don't have a costume.
Make one. You got time. Just do it.
Before the weekend, just don't sleep.
Just start sewing
Become
right
Powerline.
Now.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
But that's happening local, so.
Well, right on. Well, thanks for joining us. Sorry that our internet upload speeds were a little less than satisfactory. It is what it is, right? But you can download this podcast anywhere you get podcasts and just listen to us, and it should sound perfect and crystal clear over on your Spotify's, Tuned In, Google Music, Apple Play. You can ask your smart speaker to play the Drive-In Speaker Box podcast, and it should work. Vince says, can we expect any stream of Thieves this week? Got to get those subs. Maybe. I don't know.
Depends, yeah.
It depends. We've had a lot of people tuning in on Twitch tonight, which is cool. Hopefully we'll get our affiliate status really quick. J.I. says, love you guys. Keep on keeping on. Thank you for tuning in, J.I. Good to see you. Maybe I'll run into you later this week at our watering holes of choices. Thanks for tuning in. Email us whenever, drivingspeakerbox@gmail.com. Like, subscribe, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. We're out there. Reed, nice work, gents. He says, thank you for tuning in all the way from Australia. That's pretty awesome. Hope that lockdown goes... I guess smooth. As well as lockdown it can. Yeah. I don't know. Just don't go crazy. Don't go shining on anybody or whatever. Because I'm surprised we didn't get a lot more shining style situations during the initial quarantine. You know,
people
all
just sitting outside and freezing to death.
Just like all work and no play, and then you know I don't know whatever else comes with the shining. Just axe murders.
Tiny tricycles.
And Merle, peace out. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you guys next week. As always, I'm the boom operator.
I'm the grip.
Later, dudes.